Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. Two senior Biden administration officials say President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping reportedly will hold a long-anticipated meeting next Wednesday in the San Francisco Bay Area. Correspondent Ken Lorman reports.
Biden and Xi have no shortage of difficult issues to address in their first engagement in nearly a year. Taiwan's upcoming election, differences over U.S. export controls on advanced technology, North Korea, the Israeli-Hamas war, and more are expected to be on the agenda.
Mr. Biden and Xi will be in San Francisco for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says far too many Palestinians have died and suffered as Israel wages war against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Blinken says the U.S. has proposed additional ideas to the Israelis for steps to limit civilian casualties in the region.
These steps will save lives and will enable more assistance to get to Palestinians in need. At the same time, much more needs to be done to protect civilians and to make sure that humanitarian assistance reaches them. Far too many Palestinians have been killed. Far too many have suffered these past weeks. And we want to do everything possible to prevent harm to them and to maximize the assistance that gets to them.
With the Israel-Hamas war in its second month, a sense of desperation has strained Gaza's close-knit society. The desperation has even emboldened some Palestinians to vent their anger against Hamas. Some Democratic officials are concerned that Senator Joe Manchin's announcement that he'll not seek re-election next year frees him to pursue a third-party presidential bid. The West Virginia Democrats' announcement opens the door for Republicans to flip the seat. On Wall Street, the Dow's ahead 75 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
This is your KMTQ News Flash. With the inaugural Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix less than a week away, weekend hotel room rates on the Strip, they continue to drop. A year-long survey of room prices done by the Las Vegas Review-Journal that's been tracking Caesars Entertainment properties shows room rates have dropped by as much as 75% going into next week. That's when the race happens. Local experts say that decrease is not a reflection of anticipated revenue potential, but of room availability. The Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix runs November 16th through the 18th of the race, running Saturday night on portions of the Las Vegas Strip. While roommates at Caesars properties apparently are going down, Wynn Resort says it expects to generate record revenue for the three-day period that's the Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix. Speaking on the company's third-quarter earnings conference call, Wynn officials said, unlike other Strip properties, they had seen no drop in room rates going into the race weekend. Meanwhile, Wynn Las Vegas has modified its self-parking policy, clipping some time off free parking for locals. As of this past Wednesday, complimentary parking for locals has now been reduced from 4 hours to 3. Officials say 3 hours works better for a guest visiting the Wynn properties and that the 4-hour free window was allowing people to seek entertainment elsewhere. Wynn returned to its paid self-parking policy just before the opening of Sphere across the street. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, they're headed to the White House. President Joe Biden will welcome the team Monday to celebrate its 2023 Stanley Cup win. Back in June, the Golden Knights defeated the Florida Panthers in 5 games to win the Cup in 6, as owner Bill Foley had forecast before the team ever played a regular season game. Enjoy. Go Knights, go. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Today, we're seeing much fewer cars through the resort corridor on I-15, both sides between 95 and Russell Road. And also good news in North Las Vegas, that accident finally cleared out of the way. It was on 15 northbound at Craig Road. That's gone now. Checking the street, southeast accident with injury at St. Rose Parkway in Spencer. Cloudy and cooler temperatures today with highs that end up in the upper 60s by the afternoon, but it will be clear tomorrow and Sunday, so a great-looking weather weekend in store for us. 46 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
Check it out!
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pass her. Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local, and true to his word, Congressman Mark Amadei is always saying, next time I'm in town, we'll have to get together in studio, and so it is. Mark Amadei, Congressman from CD2, joining us, and a lot of people saying, wait a minute, you live up north, what are you doing down south? What are you doing? You're outside of your district.
I snuck down through Tonopah when nobody was looking, and it's downhill from Tonopah, so it's happy Veterans Day. Pleasure to be here at the Radio Nerve Center. I was in town last night for a Keystone function where they had a former colleague of mine, Trey Gowdy, was their keynote. And so they asked me if I could make it based on the schedule, if I'd introduce him. And so I had a lot of fun with the introduction / roast. And here we are. Good to see you.
I was afraid that Mike Johnson would change everything, would change the schedules around and take away your Fridays in district, that kind of thing. Tell me about the first couple of weeks under Mike Johnson. Has anything changed?
Well, he is committed. After that month, Kevin, I mean, let's face it, that was a nasty way to spend a month, throwing all the usual suspects in the trash and whatever. Mike Johnson is a guy who came from off the radar screen to, Jesus, this guy's a speaker. What do you know? What's changed is he's a focused guy. It's like we got to get through those appropriations things. On the 17th, we're out of Schlitz as far as funding. We need to extend a CR. I don't think there's anybody that's going. And by the way, he said, I do not want to shut the government down. And so there's people going, oh, we don't need any of that stuff and whatever. It's like, listen, incredibly disruptive. I've been around long enough. We shut it down under Obama. Boehner was the speaker. We shut it down under Trump. Paul Ryan was the speaker. Kevin, from when you shut it down to when you open it back up, nothing changed. The history is nothing changed. And so you're like, well, if we're doing it to bring the other side to their political knees or get something, it's like, didn't work. Disruptive, obviously. But when you look at the cost to crank it back up after you've shut it down, if you're a fiscal conservative, it's a dumb thing to do. So it's like, do we fight for what the border, Israel versus Ukraine, all that other sort of stuff? Obviously, that fight goes on with every bit as much, and we see what we can do. But shutting it down doesn't help any of those issues.
And everybody, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is not your first political rodeo, everybody gets paid. Yeah, they get back pay.
Well, if they don't continue to get paid, they get back pay. So it's like, so Kevin, here's your deal. If you're a federal employee, you're not going to get your check this month. But hey, tell your mortgage company and your auto loan people and your charge card people, you're good for it. I'm going to get the money. I'm just not going to have it this month. So give me a timeout. I don't think it works that way with creditors.
Okay, tell me where we are on this whole mess. And are we close to any sort of resolution on the standalone Israel bill that you guys voted on and you got it passed versus the glop all bill that I call it that would encompass not only that but also Ukraine, southern border, maybe some China money. Where are we in the House of Representatives?
Right now, the discussion, I can't speak obviously for Hakeem Jeffries folks, but the Republican discussions have gone like this. First of all, what's the date? Do you do it December? Do you do it January? Whatever. I think that the January thing is at least doing it in December to just, you know, rewind the tape and play it again in 2 or 3 weeks doesn't really accomplish anything. Besides that, we want to make sure we get the rest of the appropriations bills done in the House. By the way, individually, Kevin, it's like, well, you can put them all together, put the remaining four bills that you have together and just pass them as a little minibus or omnibus. Like, that's not a good idea. That's probably what the Senate's going to end up doing. But it's like, hey, they're the Senate. Chuck Schumer, have a nice day. But on our stuff, the discussion is you do a clean CR. It's like, what's a clean CR? Clean CR is you're just supposed to fund the government at its existing level for that much more time. So the lights stay on, the trains keep running, blah, 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 that sort of stuff. The strongest thing we want in terms that may be added is the Israel piece. Now, mind you, so we put the Israel piece on. If the Senate says absolutely not, unless you do all this other sort of stuff, then it's like, well, that's fine, Senate. You own that. It's like, so there's a political calculation in that which says we stand with Israel and they should have their – and then, you know, if you want to talk later on about how we do Ukraine, I can tell you in the Republican neighborhood, you want to have a Ukraine discussion, it is absolutely positively welded to the southern border. And it's the HR1 southern border stuff. It's not, oh, we need some more money for – processing centers or whatever. And so the border is substantive stuff. In other words, you got to close the border administration. But I think for next week's going to be an interesting week because
no, it will be. It will be. Let me get back though to Mike Johnson. Normally when you get a change of speaker, you get a change of rules, you get a change of when we're going to take time off. I mean, because let's admit Congress took a lot of time off in the fall in August and September.
Yeah. Well, we had that So to directly answer your question, Mike Johnson is focused on nuts and bolts. So, I mean, he's had a couple meetings with the Cardinals on appropriations because Kevin's like, hey, there's an idea. It's money. Let's talk with the appropriators so we make sure we're all on the same sheet of music. And so it's been good for him because he hasn't been an appropriator. Not that we tell him what to do. We don't, but he now has an awareness of what the pieces are on the table and where they can be moved and where they can't be moved or whatever. Very sharp guy. And the schedule is, and you're right, I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to be here because if he decides we're going to work Friday, Saturday or whatever, then we're going to work Friday, Saturday. Next week, we're supposed to be done Thursday? Probably not, but it's like, that's fine. You know it. So we'll stay until we get done what we think we need to get done. And not get jammed by the Senate and have them send something over and leave town and say, Happy Turkey Day. But you hit on something. Part of the discussion with the appropriators was, well, when we're doing the bills for the next fiscal year, which starts kind of like now or shortly after now, the schedule for next year came out. And it's like, that's good. It's out early. We can look at it. But we told them, he said, hey, we're looking at this. And if you want realistic appropriations, 12 bills in time, like the old days, first thing you need, forget about waiting for the president's budget. Congress doesn't care who the president is. We never pay any attention to what they submit. So why are you waiting for something that you're not really? So it's like the budget committee needs to do their deal, produce their budget in January. Fine. But when we look at February, March, April, May, June, July, it's like, well, for that schedule you've got, unless you're willing to dedicate a lot of the floor time to appropriations bills, you need to take back some weeks that were going to be constituent work weeks. And so it's like, we're happy to do the work, but we got to be on the floor. The committee will get its work done in time. But then when you go to the floor for what you're watching now for this year's stuff, it's like that schedule doesn't reflect a true commitment schedule-wise to getting the appropriations bills done off the floor before July 4th.
Okay. Getting back to the appropriation bills, and it's your contention that you're going to have all but three of them done? Pretty much?
Well, this week we've got financial services, general government. And you say, why isn't it done now? Well, it has the GSA in it, which is, you know, the government real estate thing. And you're going, well, what the heck? That's the FBI building, Kevin.
Oh.
And there's strong feelings about that. And there should be. THUD, transportation, housing, urban development. There are issues in there on reproductive rights in D.C. And all that other sort of stuff. So that's the deal there, Kevin. And you say, well what's it? If you've got – when you got a three-vote majority and you can count on no help from the Democrats in any blue dog sense, it's like, hey, if you got problems with that 222, then you have to try to work those out and have discussions. It's the same thing. It's the same thing I went through with the Ledge Branch bill. You're like, well, come on, that's pretty. It's like, well, actually, that's the bill where we say you do or don't get a cost of living increase in your pay, a COLA. And guess what? And I didn't think there's strong feelings, Kevin. By God, we can't do that. It looks bad. This time we're cutting all these people and you're going to take a raise. And the other side is it's been 13 years. And there are members who, no kidding, aren't wealthy. And so I had a long discussion with Rand Paul in the Senate. And he goes, we're punishing ourselves. He says, do you want people in Congress who either can't get a job elsewhere, so this is a good way to make, you know, $1.75 a year? Or that at one end and the other end is or people who can afford to not really have to rely upon whatever because you're maintaining houses and two different – all that. Here's how we got through it. We got all Republicans. We actually had four Democrats vote for it, too. Is like, listen, if you're going to conference with the Senate, it's better to have a bill that passed off the floor. And so you can vote for this even if you're mad about their pay raise language in it or there isn't. What really is going to be the law is when the conference report comes back. And so if it doesn't have what you want in there, then vote against it. When the conference report comes back, that's the final trip to the plate, if you will. And so people are like, okay. And it's like, you can put a letter in the file saying, I voted for this to keep it moving on, but make no mistake, if it's got this or doesn't have that in it, in the conference. And it's like, there you go. But I'll tell you what, those conversations sometimes are difficult to have when you got folks who are like, don't bother me with the facts. I'm just telling you right now. I'm never voting for this, whatever. And it's like, well, it ain't going into law off the floor of the House, civics teachers of the world. You got to go through the Senate and conference, too. So there's a perception that what goes off the floor in the House is the final say. And it's like, no, it's not.
Tell me this. How does the House of Representatives do anything when you still have the really deep divide? The Matt Gaetzes, folks like that. How do you function with the margin is still what, four votes in the House of Representatives, three votes now?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, Mike Johnson's getting a little bit of a honeymoon. Although, I don't know, I was looking at Buddy Carter from Georgia on the floor just, I think, day before yesterday, and we're looking at each other, and it's like, hey, you think the honeymoon's over already? And there were signs where you're like, yeah, the honeymoon may be over. The bride and the groom may be fighting. Here's the good news. For that amount of time after Kevin Johnson was unanimously put in the speakership job on the floor, people got a taste of, folks are really happy when you people are playing well together and governing. And so I'm not saying that's going to overcome everything, but it's one of those things where you can go, hey, I don't care where you figure you are on the political spectrum in a GOP sense, but it's like nobody thought it was cool when everybody was basically throwing rocks at each other in a circular firing squad. So there's still that, and I think there's still a very powerful motivation there to go, you're in the majority, you better start governing. And you know what? It's a fair criticism.
More coming up from Mark Amadei. We're talking about, in fact, we're going to be talking about the elections of this week. Limited sample size, but a lot of folks on the left are saying, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Debunking both liberal and conservative rhetoric. Dan Bongino, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategies. Call 702-965-2016. That's 702-965-2016. Make that call right now.
This is Ron Quince, your Republican candidate for Nevada Congressional District 1 and a 20-year resident of the Las Vegas Valley. Over the last few weeks, I've had friends, neighbors, and clients ask me why I'm taking time away from a great career to run for Congress. The answer is two reasons. I'm doing it for the future of my two young precious daughters, and I'm doing it for you. When the American dream is alive for you, it is alive for all of us. It's a shame that the dream is now fading because of the reckless actions of Dina Titus and her boss, Joe Biden, and their thirst for power and control over your life. They have lied to us, destroyed our economy, our energy independence, and they have attacked our families. It's time for us to take a stand. The Ron Quince campaign is about you and the fight to reclaim the dream, the opportunities, and the freedoms that were promised in our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. You have a powerful voice, and I'm listening. Join our fight for Congress today at ronq4u.com. Paid for by Ron Quince for Congress.
You support transparency in government, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are tax dollars, right?
So when local governments decide how much to, say, pay police officers or when they set the salaries for teachers, you think those discussions should be open to the public, right?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'd like to be in that meeting to give my two cents.
Well, what if I told you that currently, when local governments meet with union leaders to have those discussions, it all happens behind closed doors?
What? What do you mean, behind closed doors?
In Nevada, public sector union negotiations are exempt from the state's open meeting laws. The entire process is closed to the public. Even as a public employee, you would not be allowed to see what they're negotiating.
Wow. How much we're going to pay teachers and police seems like a pretty big discussion to keep hidden from taxpayers.
Better government begins with more transparency, not less. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to find out more. This has been a public service announcement from the Nevada Policy Research Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit.
When was your last trip to the dentist? Has it been a few years? 5 years? More? Hey, Kevin Wall here. For years, I went without dental care, and then I found Dr. Joe Willardson at True Dentistry. Dr. Joe and his caring staff converted me from a scared, high-anxiety patient to one that breezes through exams. Whether it's been years since your last dental visit, or if you just haven't found a good dentist in Vegas yet, I hope you'll do what I did. Call True Dentistry, 702-434-4800. The number again, 702-434-4800. 402-434-4800. Right now, True Dentistry is offering a free smile simulation to all new patients. A $150 value, absolutely free. Be sure to use your annual insurance benefits before the end of the year. True Dentistry has two convenient Valley locations in the Southwest and in Summerlin. Call 702-434-4800. That's 434-4800. Or check them out at TrueDentistry.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Always good to have Mark Amaday on, the congressman from CD2. It's even better when he's in studio because we get to giggle and laugh together during the breaks. We had elections, limited sample size earlier this week. The left is saying, see, there's not going to be a red wave. There's not going to be anything like that. What did you make of what happened Tuesday night?
You know, I wasn't real invested in it before because I was busy doing other things, but it's one of those where you watch it every cycle. You know, if it's – it'll get spun, however. And so the spin this time is, oh, you know, hey, the red brand's in trouble and blah, blah, blah. You know what, Kevin, what it always boils down to, I think, in a historical sense is who's the candidate, what's the plan, who's their consultant, are they an effective consultant, and what's your turnout operation? That's – what affects elections, not no disrespect, not national and internet, influence, whatever they call them and all that other stuff. You can tell I'm a big tech guy. but anyhow, it's like, listen, that's what, and it's like congressional, those are small bites. You know that. You got three of them in Las Vegas. It's not like, oh, we're going to go up to the 80,000 foot level. It's right down there at the neighborhood level. What's your message? What's your turnout plan? And how are you going to do that? So this is nice to fill some space and some time or whatever. And you know what I'd say? Well, if you guys did better, you'd be loving it. It's like, no. I mean, it's all, you know, that thing, all politics is local. Well, it's pretty close to the ground level. May not be local, just one locality, but there you go. That's how things are won and lost. Electoral stuff like that. It's like they've totally forgotten, not that polls are elections, but it's like whoever's poll was that was out last week saying, hey, in those six battleground states, one of them is this one, things ain't looking good for the blue team. And it's like, I don't know whether they're right or not. You sure as heck don't want to rest on those laurels. But, you know, it's like, that's nice. We had that and they did some stuff and whatever. And there's a few lessons to be learned in some of that on the issues.
But In the elections on Tuesday, in almost every race, the word abortion comes up.
Yeah.
And Republicans are still trying to find a way to talk about abortion where they can be true to their beliefs, but also not get clobbered at the polls. What do you make? I mean, is there one way to handle the abortion issue for Republicans?
Well, once again, I'll go back to, I mean, let's take Nevada. So you say, well, you're an elected official in Nevada. You're the only Republican in the federal delegation. You've got a voting record that talks about right to life and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, take it down to the Supreme Court. And Dodd said it's a state's issue. Guess what, Nevadans? Everything that is decided in Nevada instead of Washington, D.C., for the most part, I think is a very good idea. And guess what, Kevin? Nevadans decided what the rules would be in Nevada for abortion in 1988. And they said you can have an abortion for any reason up to 6 months. After that, there are some exceptions or whatever. That's the rule in Nevada. They also said, the voters in Nevada, same people that elected me, you know, same people that elected Joe Lombardo and Steve Sisolak before him.
Andy Matthews.
Yeah,
and
all that stuff. They also said, and if you want to change those rules, you have to come back to us, the voters. I don't see that as a hard – it's like I may not agree, but I sure as heck am going to respect what the voters said. And you say, well, why would you do that? Well, they're the ones who gave me this responsibility. Oh, you were okay when you tapped me to have this responsibility. But by the way, you're all dried up or wet or whatever on the other stuff. So you just sit there. It's like if the conversations can focus on the facts in your state. And let me finish with this. I would be just as quick to vote against a national abortion law that the Republicans put up as I was against Nancy Pelosi's, which, I mean, her H.R. 1 or whatever it was in the last session basically federalized all abortions. Like, how disrespectful to Nevadans. So anyhow, it's like it shouldn't be a federal issue. I think the Supreme Court got it right.